Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in Australia. It's great to have you join us today. Last week we started a new series in the book of Acts, and I talked to you about how the book had traditionally been called the Acts of the Apostles, but it could equally have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as he plays such a central role throughout the narrative. In line with this, we spent quite a bit of time looking together at just who the Holy Spirit is. That is, we clarified from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing, a force, an influence. He is not wind or fire, but a person who can be known. He is God in every sense of the word, co-equal with the Father and the Son. Now, if you haven't listened to that message, can I encourage you to access the recording or read through the transcript? There are some really important teaching in last week's message that will feed into both today's message and this whole series in the book of Acts. Last week, after looking at who the Holy Spirit is, I then rather quickly ran through a few points on what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on a person. You remember from Acts 1:8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What I'd like to do today is take that brief teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the regenerate person, the Christian, and expand on it. You'll hear a whole lot of things that I said last week. That is very deliberate. I'm meaning to repeat myself, and in doing so, hopefully, to broaden our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's a whole lot about the Holy Spirit that I'm not going to cover today. I notice that my notes on what I've left out about the Holy Spirit is far greater than what I've included. For instance, I'm not going to cover in any detail the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That is, the way he makes us holy, not in a legal sense as we receive it at the moment of regeneration, but in an everyday, automatic, reflex kind of sense, where when we eventually will just naturally do the right thing, living holy, godly lives, we will naturally just live out the Ten Commandments. You know, we talked about that quite a bit when we studied the book of 1 Peter, so I haven't included that. So let's dive into it. Jesus promised those first disciples that his Holy Spirit would come on them. And of course, ever since, all those who place their hope in Jesus claim this same promise. We want the Holy Spirit to come on us in power. But for what purpose? Well, Jesus tells us in the very same verse, part of what the Holy Spirit does when he comes to live within us is that he empowers us to be his witnesses in our local setting and then further afield, as our personal witness joins with our brothers and sisters in Christ to bear witness to all of humanity. If we're going to reach our local community for Christ, we're only going to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. When the doubts come, and they will, we all have doubts about how we're going to do all that God calls us to do in his name. We all need to hang on to the promises found in the scriptures. This world is his vineyard. He is passionate about the fruitfulness of the vineyard, and he brings about that fruitfulness through the empowering of his Holy Spirit as he comes upon everyday, normal people just like you and I. So how does the Holy Spirit do that? What does that look like in an everyday sense? Well, the first point I would make, as I said to you last week, is that the Holy Spirit empowers us by speaking to us. He is warmly and intimately personal, and he lovingly speaks with us as dearly loved children. Always remember that. God chose to reveal himself to us as Father, in Christ as brother, and in the Holy Spirit as comforter, counselor, and constant companion. So he speaks to us. God's Spirit speaks to us. The question is always then, are we listening? In Revelation 2, verse 7, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Clearly, God's Spirit wants to speak to us. He's not silent. He wants to speak with us. He lives with us as a community of believers. He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is the great shepherd of our local church community. That's why it's so important for me as the pastor and Jan and Pat and Kevin as deacons and all of our church family that we are always seeking to hear from the Holy Spirit as we face all the challenges which come with church life. The Holy Spirit lives in us as individuals, and he wants to speak with us both as individuals and as a community. In Acts 10, we find the Holy Spirit speaking unambiguously and very specifically to Peter. In verse 19, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you." That's very specific, isn't it? In Acts 13, verse 2, we read, "While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" In my own life, I found this to be true. More times than I can remember, a little word running around in my mind telling me to do something. "Murray, just give John or Betty or Linda a ring. Give them a call." Or sometimes it's a word of counsel. "Murray, don't worry about it. Just let it go. Leave it to me." Or when we faced when we were faced with having to remove the ceiling of the church hall because of the apparent asbestos contamination above, "Murray, have a careful look at the old photos, the photos of the church being built." Well, that particular word from the Lord led to a saving of about $160,000. God's Spirit wants to speak to us. He's not silent, but will often speak to us if we are willing to listen. As we read through the Old Testament time and time again, we find the prophets declaring that the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, had said this or that to them, and that they were commanded to speak these words out to others. God's Spirit speaks to us. In 2 Peter 1, he says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Do you see, not only does the Holy Spirit speak to us, but he also speaks through us to others. I ran a query on the verses in the Bible where we find either "God said" or "the Lord said." I found 359 verses. Clearly, God's Spirit wants to speak to us. He lives with us, he lives in us, and he wants to speak with us. Interestingly, we also discover in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us things about the future. In John 16, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." Now, in saying that, I want to say very clearly to you, be very cautious when you feel as though the Lord has spoken to you. Any alleged word from God needs to be tested. Many times I've had people bring me supposed words from God, and as they've delivered those words, I've felt God's Spirit within me, who I've learnt to trust, say, "They're not my words. They are straight from the enemy." We need to recognise that there are lots of ways that we are spoken to, and at times it can be quite confusing. Any alleged word from God needs to be tested. So much of our Christian life is lived out in our mind. In fact, I would suggest that the majority of your Christian life is lived out in your mind. I love the fact that the scriptures tell us that he renews our mind, because our mind is so central to our behavior, to our relationships, to every part of us. I need my mind renewed, and I suspect you may as well. We need to be very careful about how we think and what we allow our mind to dwell on. Now, there are at least four voices running around in your mind. There are your own thoughts which very simply have their origin within your mind. There are other people's words, things that have been said to you. They go around and around in your head, some helpful, some not so helpful. There are words from the enemy, Satan, the devil, the one whom Jesus called the ruler of this world and a liar. We need to remember that when Satan speaks to us, he tells you lies. And you need to hear the lies for what they are. Jesus said that he prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Satan will never say something to you for your good. His will for you is always for your harm, your destruction. And then there are the gentle, quiet, loving words of God's Holy Spirit. And we need to become skilled in learning how to recognize his voice. His will is always for your good. When I feel or think that God is speaking to me, I want to be asking myself, are these words loving, encouraging, rebuking, in alignment with my conscience? You know, your conscience is a wonderful gift from God, which helps you to live a good, moral, ethical life. When I feel that God is speaking to me, I need to ask myself, are these words filled with grace? Are they specific to my situation, or are they general and broad? The Holy Spirit always seems to speak specifically to us because he knows every detail of our thoughts and motives. But the enemy tends to utter blanket lies and put downs over us. And most importantly, when I feel that God is speaking to me, I need to ask myself, do these words line up with his word, with the Bible, with scripture? I would also then want to hear what one or two other trusted, mature believers have to say about this word, which appears to be, seems to be from the Lord. So we need to be cautious and patient, resting in the knowledge that God's Spirit can and will speak to us as he desires. We also need to acknowledge that we don't demand anything of God. We don't demand that he speaks to us, as some people think, as I myself have often thought. We simply come to God and ask. As I said to you this last week, prayer is expectant asking. We ask for an answer, and then we wait. Sometimes in the wisdom of God, we wait a very, very long time. Often God is silent, and suddenly for no apparent reason he speaks. And when he does, we need to listen to his Spirit. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would empower us. And part of how he does that is by speaking to us. Our task is to place ourselves so that we may hear his still, small voice. And remember, there will be times when he will be silent, for he has already spoken through his word. And we're either simply being disobedient to his word, or we are simply not spending enough time in his word to know what he has already said to us. So when God is silent, it seems to me that there are really three fundamental reasons. A, God is choosing to be silent. He's God and we're not. He can do what he likes. In those moments, it's good to remember that God always wills for our good. God always wants the best for us, and his silence may simply be what is best for us. That's option one. God is choosing to be silent. B, I'm being disobedient. God's told me to do something or to not do something, and we're essentially saying, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Or C, I'm not reading his word, and therefore I don't know what he's already said to me. I've found with regard to this last option that if I'm spending time reading his word on a regular, you know, really regular basis, God's Spirit will prompt me. He will simply quietly whisper in my ear a verse of scripture that is needed for that particular situation. Okay, so the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Number two, he intercedes for us. The book of Romans tells us that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. God knows that we often simply don't know what to pray. At a gut level, we know we need help. We know that God is the only answer. We come to him just like little children, not knowing what we need. Thank God his Spirit intercedes, praying for us in language too deep for words. I have to confess, I find it really difficult to get my head around this whole notion that the Spirit of God intercedes and advocates for us with God, that is, with himself. I'm guessing that it has something to do with God's justice crashing into God's mercy and loving kindness. I don't really understand it, but his word tells us it happens, and I'm deeply thankful and very grateful that it does happen. I have found some help in reading this verse from Galatians 4. In Galatians 4, 6, it says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, and presumably a daughter as well, God has made you also an heir. Do you see? The Holy Spirit calls out from within our hearts, Abba, Daddy, Father. Anyone who has children knows that there is this innate sense, this intangible connection between a child and their mother and father. The child in distress automatically, like a reflex action, cries out for its mother or father. This is what the Holy Spirit somehow creates as he lives within our hearts, an innate, instinctive, reflex connection between our spirit and God's spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Number three, he leads and guides us. He leads and guides us. Once again, Paul is writing to the Romans. Listen to this. It's in Romans 8:14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. To be a child of God means that you are led by the Spirit of God. So many times in the Scriptures, we find reference to shepherds. One of the most notable is found in the well-known 23rd Psalm. Here David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters." Those who are in Christ are led by his Holy Spirit. So we need to be continually looking for where the Lord is leading us and continuing to ask, how would he have me walk through this particular challenge or opportunity or part of my life? In John 16, verse 13, we find Jesus saying, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Do you see how vital it is that we are listening to the Holy Spirit? He desires to speak with us, to lead us, and to guide us. He also uniquely equips each of us for the works he has prepared for us to do. Remember Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has prepared great things for you and I to do in his name, and he uniquely equips each of us to do that work. When God, through Moses, led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, he gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the law. He told them in minute detail about how they were to worship him and how they were to construct the tabernacle and the various items that would facilitate that worship. God then specifically chose an individual, a man named Bezalel, to complete the works, and he gave his spirit to Bezalel to enable him to do it. Have a look in Exodus 31. Verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah.'" A unique individual. Do you see? In time and space. A man with a family line, a family, a father, a grandfather, a man with an address. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship." This was one gifted and talented guy. This is what God does for each of us. He uniquely equips you for the ministry he has uniquely called you to. Remember a little later in Acts 2:17, God declares that he will pour out his Spirit on all people. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives for the building up of the church. It says in verse 4 of chapter 12, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." Can you see how crucial it is that we're all listening to the Holy Spirit? He desires to speak with us, to lead us, and to guide us. And he also uniquely equips each of us for the works he has prepared for us to do. Now, I would really love it if you could have this next passage open before you. We'll be finishing with this passage. During the week I was working on this message, I found myself unsure about just where I should go in the Scriptures to finish. I literally went to bed praying that the Lord would speak to me about this. I was awoken around 4 a.m. I sensed the Lord's presence and I turned the light on. I opened my Bible randomly and this is the verse I had before me. Paul is praying here for the young church in Ephesus. And I'm sure he's also praying here for us as well as we read these words as Holy Scripture 2,000 odd years later. It's in Ephesians 3, verse 16. "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit, Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. Isn't that wonderful? This is the kind of verse one needs to meditate on. This is one of those verses that you want to continually keep before you. This is one of those verses that will get you through the tough times. Paul is praying for the glorious, unlimited resources of God to empower us with inner strength to be the people God wants us to be. Just simply be who we are in him, the family of God, children of the King. And he does this through the indwelling Spirit of God. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Amen to that. May the Lord bless you today.